Your Bibles to Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29, I'll be reading it in its entirety, verses 1 to 25. This is God's holy word for you. Please now give it your full attention as it is read. And Job again took up his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it approved, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters, with the dew all night on my branches. My glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me, and waited, and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again. And my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way, and sat as a chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners." As far as the reading of God's Word from Job chapter 29, let us begin with prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you again for continuing to bless us as your children whom you love. We thank you for blessing us with your holy word, and we pray you be with us now in the power of your Spirit as your word is preached, that it be preached properly with boldness, but that your Spirit would be active in all your children here, that you would be opening the eyes of all your children's hearts to understand the deep things of your word, providing illumination. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday evening, in chapter 28, we saw what true wisdom is. A life lived in utter submission to God's holy will. A life that makes evident your profession of faith, so that your love for God is shown in your obedience to Him in all areas of your life. This is what it means to fear God and to turn from evil. Chapters 29 to 31 are Job's final pleas to God. In chapter 29, we see that Job is a wise man. He is God's finest servant. I once referred to Job earlier on in the series as buffed. This, of course, is an acronym for a man who is blameless and upright, who fears God and turns away from evil. Buffed. And, of course, this is how God Himself describes Job, His finest servant. He is one who is wise. He is wise because his life is patterned after God's will. He seeks to conform himself to God's law in all of his life. We see that worked out here in chapter 29 as he testifies of his buffed life. In the next two chapters will complete Job's final speech. In chapter 30, Job will sum up his misery. So 29 is his former glory. Chapter 30 will be a summary of his misery. And then chapter 31, his final plea of innocence. And that will conclude this portion of the book. Bless you. Job reminisces about the good old days. The Bible doesn't tell us how much time exactly has passed since Job's trials began. However, it appears to be at least a period of many months, if not longer, that has gone by. From his miserable state, where all has been taken from him, he is without comfort, without companionship, without the love of his children, and completely overrun with disease. He thinks back to when everything was going right in his life. He refers to these as the days when God watched over me. The implication of this statement, of course, is that God has ceased to look after Job, to watch over him with his loving kindness and care. This is incorrect, as God continues to watch over him, as we well know from our perspective in this book, despite Job's sufferings. Job does see that everything good in his life came from God's loving hand. He just doesn't quite yet understand that the same is true of his suffering. But he will come to know that, and we'll see that a couple years from now when we get to chapter 41 and 42. Job testifies to the richness of God's blessings that have been poured out upon him. He was guided by God's glorious light, he says. His lamp shone on my head, and by his light I walked through the darkness. Job never experienced the darkness of despair because God had protected him from it. Now he finds himself in darkness. He finds himself at a low point. He is walking, as it were, through the valley of the shadow of death. This draws our attention to the words of David in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There we see blessing upon blessing upon blessing. But he continues, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There, in Psalm 23, David finds opportunity to praise God, not only when he is being led beside the still waters, but also as he is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, both in times of blessing and in times of great suffering and need. You also are to look to Christ, who, of course, as he tells us himself, is your good shepherd. He has laid down his life for you, his precious sheep. When you are in the valley of the shadow of death, he alone is your comfort. He speaks to you and guides you during your times of suffering. How does he do this? How does God speak to you? Is it in visions? Is it in dreams? Is it in feelings, primarily? He speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you here. He speaks to you through men he has set apart to do this, whom he has called his under shepherds, the officers of the church, whom he has placed over you by his grace. Job continues and says, I was in my prime. God's friendship was upon my household, upon my tent. God was with me, and my children were around me. Here, Job in his loneliness is remembering his 10 children. Remember his 7 sons and his 3 daughters who were crushed under the house of the oldest son. He recalls how wonderful it was to have them close to him, to have his family around him. And now he weeps at their absence. He weeps as he thinks that God also has left him. In verses 6 to 8, he pictures the blessings that he experienced at such a height as though the steps to his home were washed with curds and thick cream coming from his healthy flocks and herd. That the blessings were poured out to him like streams of oil from a rock. Referring also here to the blessing of his olive groves. That they produced so much oil it was like streams pouring out from a rock. He was blessed with an abundance of good things. He had so much good cream he could wash his feet with it. It's like saying that someone has so much money that they can use it to blow their nose and throw it away. It's a picture of blessing. Job then speaks a great deal about when he would go to the city gate. We've talked about the city gate before, and if you remember, this is the city court. The gate of the city is where the elders and the leaders of the town would meet regularly to conduct the city affairs, to hear judicial cases, and to settle legal disputes. He sees this service to the community as an important part of his service to God. He spends a lot of time talking about it. He was greatly respected by everyone in Uz. The younger men would clear the way for him when they saw him coming. They would withdraw. The older men would stand as a sign of respect when he would arrive. Even today, when a judge enters his courtroom, the bailiff instructs everyone in the room to rise in respect for the judge. Here, the aged, the old men, who were revered and respected in the community, would themselves stand out of respect for Job when he would arrive at the city gate. Even the princes and the nobility would stand. They would, he says, put their hand over their mouth. They would hush themselves and hush all the people to listen to what Job had to say, to listen to his counsel. Their tongues, he says, would stick to the roofs of their mouths. Kids, how many of you like peanut butter? Yeah, me too. When you eat a big spoonful of peanut butter, sometimes your tongue will stick to the roof of your mouth. Have you ever had that happen to you? Take a big bite of peanut butter and it's so flickering there, you can barely move your tongue, and you got to find something to drink to wash it down because it's so sticky. And that happens, you can't talk. You have a tough time talking, which is what I was trying to imitate. So you can't talk, so you point and moan, and quickly you go to find a glass of milk to wash it down. So it's like every time Job comes to the gate of the city, all of the noblemen would have a big mouth full of peanut butter. Their tongues would stick to the roof of their mouth. Their tongues would be silenced. They would be stilled. They were unable to speak because of the great respect that they had for Job. No one thought poorly of him. Everyone agreed that Job was wise. They heartily approved of his actions and of his advice, of his counsel. And this was all for a very good reason, because Job lived a life of wisdom. He recalls that in verses 12 to 14, his buffed, wise life. He delivered the poor. As a judge, as the chief justice of the Uzlan Supreme Court, when the poor, the destitute, the weak, the downtrodden would bring their case before him, he would deliver them. He would help restore justice into their life, into their situation. Those who had no father to help them, he would act as a father on their behalf, acting in their own best interest. Those who Job helped would bless him. And he says, I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. The Old Testament is filled with laws concerning the care of the fatherless and the widow. This continues on into the New Covenant as well. James says in chapter 1, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Job did this. He cared for those who had great need. He used his gifts. He used his authority to help those who were suffering and who were without hope. His life was such that he clothed himself, he says, with righteousness and justice. All of his actions were so characterized by righteousness and justice that it was as if they were a robe clothed around him and a turban placed upon his head. Or to use the New Testament imagery, Job was clothed with the whole armor of God. When Job saw that others had a need, he did his best to meet that need. He made himself, as he says, eyes to the blind. To those who could not see, he served as their eyes. And he did for others what they were unable to do for themselves. He made himself as feet to those who could not walk, to the lame. He did not only do this to those who were close to him, to his friends, to his family members. He says, he searched out the cause of him whom he did not know. In the words of our Lord in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Job was a neighbor to all who were around him. He made himself a neighbor to those whom he came in contact with. Job not only helped the weak, he also fought against the wicked. In verse 17 and following, he speaks of the wicked as a ravenous beast, like wolves that have fangs and seek to bite and devour and destroy their prey, who would, of course, the easiest prey would be the weak, the poor, the fatherless, the widows, those who didn't have family around to protect them, to help them. Job says that he broke the fangs of the wicked. He kicked in their teeth. He kicked in the teeth of the unrighteous so that they could not ravage the weak. And so he rescued them from the mouth of the wicked. Life was good for Job. He thought his prosperity would continue for the rest of his life. He says, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches. My glory fresh with me and my bow ever new in my hand. Job pictures himself as a tree. As a strong tree, his roots spread out to the waters, the dew refreshing his branches over the night. This is the same imagery used of the blessed man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is a picture of Job. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. In all that he does, he prospers. He says, I was trusted. Men listened to me and paid attention to what I had to say. They greatly valued my counsel. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. Imagine living in a dry and dusty place. Is it that hard to imagine? How much you depend upon the rain and the life it brings. How many of you ever gone out into the rain and put your head up to the sky and opened your mouth and caught raindrops in your mouth? That's the picture he's painting here. Is that these men waited for his counsel, like having their mouth open toward the sky, waiting for the rain to come. They opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. His words were like rain, precious life-giving commodity. He was the trusted leader of this area, of us. His counsel, his leadership was so trusted that everyone looked to him for guidance. He says in verse 25, I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. And when he says, I live like a king, it's not like the way we use that phrase, someone who's really wealthy and lives high on the hog. He said, I live like a king among his troops, like a king in battle, the troops looking to their leader for direction, for guidance, for encouragement. And Job, who was once listened to, whose words were like law in us, is now himself denied a fair hearing by his friends. And he thinks also that he's being denied a fair hearing by God. When he speaks, they do not listen to what he has to say. They just continue to come after him over and over and over again with the same accusations, not listening to what he has to say. His word, his testimony, his counsel now means nothing to them. He has gone from being respected to being despised and rejected. The picture here is of Job's wisdom as it was expressed in his family life and as he served as a ruler over us. That's the picture he's painting. And it's true. He's not embellishing it. He's not making things up. He's recounting the reality that was his before his trials came. However, his best care for these people placed under him by God, his best care for his people pales in comparison to your father's care for you. Job speaks of his care for the fatherless and the widow. You are the fatherless. You are the fatherless who have been adopted by God. He has made you his sons and daughters and provided all that you need. You are the widow who has been loved and cherished by God. He has set you aside as the bride of Christ to be cleansed and prepared for the wedding feast of the Lamb that is to come. You are the blind who have been given sight by Christ. You are the poor, the lame, the hungry, whom He has fed, healed, and made rich by His abundant grace and mercy. You who were dead, you who were dead in your sins, have been raised to a new life in Christ. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You who were without hope have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. Paul continues in verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It is because God is so good to you that you can with thankfulness endure whatever trial may come upon you, whether you are in the valley of the shadow of death or you are being led in green pastures by streams of water. Because of the work of Jesus, you are able, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, to wholeheartedly embrace God's will and to live as His humble servant. To live a life characterized by wisdom. This is a wisdom that is from above, not an earthly wisdom. This is the Christian walk, a steady submission to God's will revealed to you in His Word. Living a life that is ever disciplined by God's grace through the ministry of His Word, His sacraments, and a faithfulness in prayer. It is only this spiritual wisdom, characterized by fearing God and turning away from evil, that will keep your eyes open to the blessings that God has given you. That you'll be able to see around you not only how you are suffering, but how God is continuing to bless you despite whatever is going on in your life, and will keep your ears open to His Word as it is preached and as it is taught. Be vigilant in your life, in your lifestyle. In Christ, seek your buffed life now. Blameless, upright. Fear God. Turn from evil. This is wisdom. Pursue Him who has raised you to a new life, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Serve your Savior. Love your Heavenly Father and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Show your love for Him and your thankfulness for all He does for you by your obedience to His Word, to His will. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for caring for us. We thank You for leading us in green pastures and making us to lie by still waters. Your blessings poured out upon us, Your mercies that are renewed every morning, Your faithfulness that is beyond comprehension. Father, we thank You for pouring out Your blessings upon us in the beauty of Your creation and all that is around us that we're able to live in, to partake in, to enjoy. We thank You for continuing to bless us and saving us from our estate of sin and misery, that we were dead in our trespasses, but You have raised us to new life in Christ. The most precious gift of all You have given us, reconciliation. You have given us the wonderful gift of adoption. We who were fatherless, You have made us to be Your sons, Your daughters, and have poured Your love upon us and have given us the inheritance that You have given to Your Son, eternal life. We thank You for continuing to guide us to being our comfort as we walk through valley of shadow of death. We pray that You strengthen our faith, and that You keep our eyes fixed upon You, and that You encourage us so that we may run the race with endurance for Your honor and Your glory. We pray these things. Amen.